Our gospel this fifth Sunday after Pentecost comes from the Gospel of Luke in the 8th chapter. Then Jesus and his disciples arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. And he stepped out onto land. A man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, as he did not live in a house but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of him. For many times it had seized him. He was kept underground, under guard, and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these, so he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. The word of the Lord. Please be seated. What are the people to do with a man possessed by so many demons that he would break the bonds that would try to contain him? Obviously, he could not remain in the city with the more civilized people. Obviously, they can't trust him to fulfill any sort of purpose. So the man who is possessed by many demons, so many that they are just referred to as legion, is relegated to the tombs. It seems that every now and again a new attempt would be made to bind him, but it would never last. So what else can they do? They don't have the power to heal this man. It seems the thought of exiling him far beyond their reach is undesirable as well. It seems as if they have come to an imperfect solution. Leave him in the tombs, and there he can be as destructive as he wants. And it's onto the scene that Jesus comes into play. Now, normally we have a nice story where Jesus identifies the demon-possessed individual, he casts out the demon, and then that person is restored to their proper place in society. It's nice and neat. But in our gospel reading today, it seems that there's a little bit of a curve being thrown at Jesus. You see, the demons called Legion know Jesus. And that's not unusual in and of itself. Most demons recognize Jesus and his power. They know who he is. They know what he is capable of. But so as Jesus commands them to come out of the man, they beg him to not cast them back into the abyss, but instead offer an alternative. Our gospel tells us the demons begged Jesus to let them enter the herd of swine. So Jesus gave them permission. It's not exactly clear why Jesus assents to their request. Did he know that the swine would then drown themselves? Did the demons actually cause that themselves? Or was Jesus showing, in a sense, compassion toward demons? It's not clear. But Jesus' authority is clear, and that authority has cast out the demons that have tormented this man for so long. Now, you'd think that the Gerasenes would be happy, right? I mean, after all their trouble with this demon-possessed man, they'd be relieved that he is so much easier to handle. You'd even think that they would maybe thank Jesus for taking care of this inconvenience. But I guess the Gerasenes really liked their bacon, because when the swineherds see what has happened to their swine, they report it to those in the city and in the countryside. Everyone knows what has happened. And instead of being amazed and grateful at the man who was possessed being clothed and in his right mind, they are fearful. And they ask Jesus to leave. It seems that even though Jesus has fixed one of their problems, in their eyes, Jesus has created another. First off, a large herd of swine has drowned itself, and Jesus was involved. They can't handle many more incidents like that before people lose their livelihood. And on top of that, now they have to figure out what to do with this former demoniac. It's so apparent that they don't know what to do with them that the former demoniac would rather stay with Jesus than be restored to his own people. Perhaps his own people weren't as willing to accept that he was free of the demons as the initial evidence would suggest. Maybe this man had been possessed by demons for so long that he had never had an opportunity to learn a trade, and now the responsibility to train him is a new burden on his community. Or perhaps they're just jerks. They liked it. They liked it when they had a definable evil that they could point to. It kept them from looking too closely at themselves. But now their boogeyman is a harmless member of society again. And not only a harmless member of society, but how they treat him will say a lot about the type of city that it is they live in. Will the city cast him out to be a beggar? Will they offer him food and shelter as he tries to put his life in order? Frankly, I don't think the Gerasenes ever thought that they would have to solve this particular problem. And now the spotlight is firmly on their response. So instead, they ask Jesus to leave. At first, we read these texts and we think that this demoniac is bound by the demons who possess him. And in Jesus ordering the demons to come out of him, he is set free from his bondage. He is released. In fact, it says right there, they put him in chains. But instead, after the demons leave him, he is still bound. He is bound by the response of others to his healing. He is bound by his society's standards. And he is bound also through his gratefulness to Jesus Christ. While Christ simply commands him, declare how much God has done for you, the rest of society isn't that easy. It's not easy to find your place in a society that has long declared that you don't have a place. Truth of the matter is, it's still not easy in our society today. Or rather, in our society, the problem is it isn't easy to transcend the place that we have been assigned in our society. Think about it. How many of us are given roles to perform? Some of us are expected to be caregivers, others breadwinners. Some of us are expected to be the ones who others will look at and say, at least I'm not like that person. Sounds a little bit like how the Gerasenes might have talked about the demoniac, doesn't it? In our churches, we have roles. We have expectations. We are bound by them almost as much as we are bound by societies. Maybe we are the fixers. Maybe we are the ones who are passionate, maybe to a fault. Maybe you're the one that is expected to be the most friendly, and you're the official designated greeter, and you're having a really bad day. It's not always easy. Or maybe you're the one that people think about when they think about somebody who doesn't quite have it all together yet. Or at least, that's what you think others are thinking. But here's the thing. We are set free. We are set free from bondage to these things. We are set free from society's standards, from the expectations that tie us down. We are set free because Christ set us free so that we can be something more than what is expected of us. We are set free because despite our imperfections, Christ sees the perfect potential that lives in the workings of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Our bonds have been broken. The demons that control us have been defeated through the death and resurrection of Christ. And through the command of Christ, much like the demoniac, we are called to declare what God has done for us. And as we proved earlier today, as we talked about our blessings, God has done so much. Through Christ Jesus, we are given the freedom to risk because we know that by grace we have already been saved through faith. And to risk might mean defying expectations, defying what society expects from you. So I invite you, live your life as if you were freed from bondage. Live your life knowing that Christ has already done the impossible for you. Perhaps as we live into this holy chaos of our freedom, we will no longer be changed by society, but indeed society can be changed by us, who are called through the Holy Spirit to declare with all our beings the glory of what God has done for all of us through Jesus Christ, who still breaks the bonds of sin and death. Amen.